Amen, brother. Amen. Higher ground. That's where we're heading. All right, folks. John chapter 8. John chapter 8. We're going to look at verse 32. John chapter 8, verse 32. If you have your place there, please say amen. Amen. Sounds good. If you're able to, why don't we all stand? If you're able to stand. If you're unable to stand, just keep your seat and stand in your heart. And if you'd be so kind to read out of your Bible this verse, read with me. The Bible says in John chapter 8 and verse 32 the following, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Father, we thank you tonight for your precious and holy word. Now, Lord, I ask that you'll allow me to decrease and you'll increase in everything said and done. Lord, have your will and your way be accomplished. Lord, if there be one here under the sound of my voice that does not know you as Savior and Lord, whether here or whether in audio or Facebook land, Lord, I pray you'll draw them close to you, Lord, and just speak to their heart, Lord, that by the end of this service, they'll know you as Lord and Savior. If there be one that's backslid, or, Father, that's strayed away, Lord, we pray that you'll bring the wanderer home tonight. And, Lord, Father, those that otherwise may be listening, battling different things, Lord, whatever it may be, Lord, we pray that you'll bring peace and comfort to their heart and life tonight. Lord, that you'll move in our midst and have thy will be done in our midst this evening. We ask it in Jesus' name, and for your sake and for your glory, may it be accomplished. And all God's children said, amen. You may be seated. One of the most famous statements in all the Word of God, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." I believe it was Harvard or either Yale that had that in one of their main buildings. And normally, after you read a quote somewhere, it'll have the name of the person that said the quote. But then, several years ago, somebody said, "That was said by Jesus, and that offends me." And so, they took it down. How sad is that? Peter Marshall, who lived from 1902 to 1949, he was a Presbyterian pastor, and he was the 57th chaplain of the United States Senate. He served from 1947 until his death. During one of those times in which he opened the Senate, the United States Senate, in prayer, this is what he prayed. "Lord Jesus, Thou who art the way, the truth, and the life, hear us as we pray for the truth that shall make all men free. Teach us that liberty is not only to be loved, but also to be lived. Liberty is too precious a thing to be buried in books. It costs too much to be hoarded. Help us to see that our liberty is not the right to do as we please, but the opportunity to please, to do what is right." I don't think he would have been able to pray that in today's Senate. John Diefenbaker, who lived from 1895 to 1979, who served as the 13th Prime Minister of Canada, said, and he served from 1957 to 1963, he said the following, "Freedom is the right to be wrong, not the right to do wrong." I thought those were very timely and good quotes. Yesterday, July 4th, we as a nation celebrated our Independence Day. A lot of people use their freedom as a liberty to get drunk and shoot off fireworks. Combined, that is not a wise decision. Shooting fireworks, fine with me. But yesterday there was a lot of noise, a lot of cookouts, a lot of shootings. There are firearms in the air. I think my bullets are too costly to waste. No longer going to fire a warning shot across the bow. We'll be coming for bear if we do. But Our nation seemed to have a nice celebration. Many people had a day off from work. Some people didn't. Many folks, I'm sure, went to performances. They were able to go to orchestras and hear them play. 1812 Overture, I'm sure. Whether they had the real cannons or not, I'm not sure. But all around our country, people celebrated in their various ways. I myself read over bits and snippets at one point of the Declaration of Independence. I was reminded of the birth certificate of our nation. But as I thought about our freedom yesterday and the liberty that we have, that was bought and purchased with patriot blood and secured, I could not help but be reminded of a greater freedom that has been bequeathed to us. And that is freedom found in Jesus. You see, if we're going to be free, notice what the text tells us. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Please note, it does not say a truth or an truth. It doesn't say one of many. It uses the definite article, the truth, the only truth. So if we're going to be truly, honestly free, we must, as he says, know the truth. But what is the truth? What is truth? That's what Pilate even asked Jesus. What is truth? Well, if we look in the Scripture, the Bible in and of itself, in John's Gospel chapter 1, it says in verse 14 the following, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Notice that. It says the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, full of grace and truth. Three verses later, in verse 17, it says this, "For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ." So now we have a name to go along with that Word that became flesh, that was full of grace and truth. What is grace? Grace is getting, receiving, or in another way, giving what is not deserved. So when we're saved by grace, we're receiving what we do not deserve. When we are gracious to other people, it doesn't necessarily mean they deserve that. But here the Bible says that Jesus Christ was full of grace, but He was also full of the truth. And it is that Word, the written Word, found in the Old Testament from the book of Genesis to the book of Malachi. In our Bible, 39 books. In the Hebrew Bible, 22. We find that all of those prophecies, the first one starting in Genesis 3:15 and coming all the way down into the book of Malachi, telling us that there is a person coming from God who is going to set things right, who is going to save His people from their sin and to destroy the works of Satan, and one day come back and inaugurate His kingdom, which shall never end upon this very earth. All of that truth culminated in Jesus. Indeed, the Word that became flesh. And then Jesus Himself affirmed this. Also in John's Gospel, chapter 14, in verse 6, Jesus said one of the most important statements in the entire Word of God. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. A lot of people today think, well, as long as somebody believes in God, they're going to be okay. No, you have to believe in the one true God. Oh, but preacher, just as long as they're sincere. No, that's not what the Bible says. I wish it were so. It would be a lot easier in this world. But that's not what the Bible reveals. The Bible reveals that people, when they are conceived and begin growing as little children, they're alive spiritually. Now, guys, please don't get me wrong. As much as it breaks my heart to say, I want you to look behind the physical to see the spiritual. We see pictures of these little kids over in Africa. They're starving. They're so starving that their bellies are bloated. And they look like a balloon in there. You've seen the picture. But they may say to you, you could, if you had a little drumstick, not a chicken leg. He needs a chicken leg. If you had a drumstick or two, you could play the xylophone on his ribs. But what happens? Oh, but if you'll just send 85 cents a day, we can help feed these starving little children. I mean, if that don't break somebody's heart and you want to give $85 a day to help feed these precious little young'uns, I mean, who don't want to help a young'un? But how we help feed that young'un makes all the difference in eternity. Because what's going to happen is that group, they're going to go over there armed with our dollars and pennies, and they're going to feed them children. Praise the Lord, they're going to get fed. Yes, sorry, Bob. But they're only going to get fed physically. And a vast majority of these children, where are they growing up? They're growing in lands where Islam is the religion of the land. Growing up where Hinduism is, the state religion. Buddhism. Worshipping trees and animals out inside the forest. And then what's going to happen? This child that is spiritually alive, according to the Bible, that knows there is a God, they're going to cross a line that we call the age of accountability. Why? Because they are alive and they're growing and their mind's growing. And when they pass that point of an age of accountability, their spirit dies. It goes to sleep, rather. It goes dormant. And now that child who once was spiritually alive is now spiritually dead. And now they're going to have to choose whether or not God is real or God is there, or to believe in one of the false gods, Allah, or the tree god, or the mushroom god, or the dog god, or the cat god, or the rat god, or whoever, or Buddha, or whatnot. I mean, guys, when you deal with Hindus over in India, they're crowded, ain't they? They got one of the largest populations in the world. And yet, the vast majority are Hindus. They got cows walking around all over the place. But they will not eat cows because they believe their ancestors and their loved ones are reincarnated as cattle. So they can't eat a cow because that's Uncle Bob. Or that's Aunt Susie, or that's Mama, or that's Daddy. But then, we're not done. They got to eat. So them cows got to eat, and them people, all them people, bless fat. They got to eat. So they grow some of the cheapest grain in the entire world. Well, as Hindus, they got a whole pantheon of gods and goddesses. One of the gods that they worship is a rat god. So what they love to do is they love to take their milled grain and they make a sacrifice and an offering to the rat god. And there's rats by the millions and hundreds of thousands swarming in them temples. Why? Because them critters know, by Jove, they're going to get fed by them idiots out there. And they're so hungry, they come up and they nibble on that grain. As the worshiper is putting that pan down there full of that grain, one of the rats gets so excitable, it bites one of the people. And the people think, oh, I'm having an encounter with God. No, that's rabies. But here's the thing. If those people in India, number one, would let Christians come in and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, they could get out of Hinduism and get into Christianity. Number two, we could also give them some good old capitalism. They can get shed of all this ideas about communism and socialism that is straight out of the pit of hell. And then we could send McDonald's over there, and they could all start working for a living, and McDonald's could start killing the cows and getting the grain and making buns and making hamburger meat. And then all the starving little youngins and people out there in India, they could be fed, and then they could start having jobs and put money in their pocket, and then maybe India might get out of the third world country system. Good old Jesus and good old American capitalistic notion. That'll help them out over there. But see, they ain't got Craig Lovelace in charge of things, so they're just going to keep on starving over there. But see, that's common sense. But here's the tragedy, guys. If we just send them people over there to feed these poor little youngins and don't never, ever, 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 ever tell them about Jesus, about the gospel, guess what's going to happen? They're going to grow up, they're going to die, they're going to go to hell. That's what's going to happen. But, now please don't get me wrong. I've told this and said this before, and the baby Christian and the atheists and the yahoos out there, they're ready to crucify Craig. That's all right. But what have I always told you? Look for the spiritual behind the physical. If these poor youngins die in starvation, when they're babies and so forth, they have a spirit that's alive. If they die, agonizing, painful as it is, God knows I don't want to die that way. Guess where they're going to go? Heaven. Ezekiel says, all souls are mine, thus saith the Lord. But when they reach that age of accountability, now they're doomed. Unless they respond to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And see, that is where humanitarianism, do-goodism, becomes one of our worst enemies. Now, if we go over there and feed them, and we tell them about Jesus, and tell them about Jesus, and tell them about Jesus, and feed them, and tell them about Jesus, that's wonderful. Keep it up. But see, the devil is fine with helping people, because he knows most people ain't going to touch Jesus with a 10-foot pole. Especially if they come from the government. It's a far cry, guys. I want you to read sometime about what's called the white man's burden. William McKinley, one of the greatest Christian presidents this nation has ever seen, when he talked about sending aid and help over to the Philippines after the Spanish-American War, after we kicked Spain's butt and we won. We went over there to help the poor morals over there. You know what he said in a message to Congress? He said, we not only need to send industry and civilization over to the savages, but we also need to send Christianity and missionaries by the thousands over there so they can know the Savior of the world. That came from a sitting president of the United States to a message to Congress, and they said, yes, Mr. President, we need to. What has happened to our country? Our country has taken this idea of freedom and said, oh, just as long as it feels good, do it. Oh, just as long as I am okay and I'm not hurting anybody else while I go smoke my joint. I'm okay. As long as I can get high, I can get drunk, I can look at my porn, I can do this, I can do that, I can have sex with dogs and cats, I can have that over there, and whatever else it is I want to do, as long as it ain't hurting nobody else, I'm free to do as I please. Absolutely 100% wrong. The queers out here say, oh, right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Let me tell you something about original intent. Thomas Jefferson, the great poster boy of the liberal nyanyas, he did not interpret pursuit of happiness to be go be queer and have your way with all the men and boys you want. No. State law in the state of Virginia was that if you were a homosexual, you were to be arrested for crimes against nature and crimes against God. You would be tried. If you were found guilty, you were to be castrated. Jefferson said the law did not go far enough. He said, to end that, you need to put them to death. That's Jefferson. And he did not believe Jesus was the Son of God. But he did believe in the moral teachings of Jesus Christ. How in the blazes can you believe in the moral teachings of Jesus Christ and not come away believing that he is the Son of God and divine? It's beyond me. But go read about the Jefferson Bible and you'll learn all about it. Either Jesus is who he said he is, and these chowder brains out here, their heads are mush. And I say, oh, he was a great philosopher. He was a great teacher. He was a great theoretician. He was a great this, a great that, a great preacher. No. Either he is the Son of God, and he is God, or he is a liar, and we are all doomed and damned on our way to hell. It can't be this without that. It's this or that. It can't be both. You can't say he was just a great teacher and he did some nice things. No, you cannot separate the nice teaching from the fact that he said, I and my Father are one, that I am God. These knuckle brains out here that say, Jesus never said he was God. That's bull rot. That's bull pucky. That ain't right. He did say he was God. The woman at the well, she said, when Messiah, God, is come, he'll tell us about this. I who speak to you am he. But Pilate wanted to know, what is truth? And the Bible, Jesus even himself said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So he is the truth. He is the way. He is our life. But then he also said in John 17:17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. So when you come to our text verse, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free, notice the word and. And ye shall know the truth. That means that this verse cannot be taken by itself. It's connected to the previous verse. So look back up in verse 31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. There are two things connected here. In order for the truth to set us free, we must first know the living word, Jesus Christ. And then we must also know his written word, the word of God. These are the twin things the Bible itself calls the truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, that is the living word. And then we also have him saying, sanctify them by thy word. Thy word is truth. So we have the living word that the Bible says became flesh and dwelt among us. So when we read the Bible, we are seeing, if you will, a picture of Jesus all throughout the Old and New Testament. If you want to see, I preached a sermon about this. If you ever have a chance to listen on sermon audio, I'm seeking the face of God. I'm seeking Peniel. I'm going to Peniel. Something about that. Just look up Peniel. Look up the face of God. That was a barn burner of a sermon. That woo, the Spirit of God was hot and fiery on that one. But guys, what I saw was that the Bible told us and tells us that we can see the face of God. Jerry, I want to see the face of God. Do you know where you can see the face of God? Think about this. Think about your face. Now, this one might scare you, except for Stacy. My daddy's seen it for 41 years. He's used to it. You know, I've just kind of scared him and everything else. But here's the thing. All right, if you look at a face, what does that face say? Okay. Okay, so what does the face do? What does the face communicate? Yes, it communicates how you're feeling. It communicates what you think about something. You say, Joe Biden's a great president. Okay, you know, so that's the thing. Jeff Davis was a great president. Okay, so that's the thing. A face tells you how a person thinks about something, right? So the face of God, guys, you wonder, well, how does the Bible say that we shall see now the face of God? Right here. This is the face of God. You want to know how God thinks about something? Right here it is. If God's smiling on something, right here it is. If God's frowning on something, right here it is. You want to know how he really feels about queer? Right here it is. You want to know how he really feels about people that are born again? It's right here. You want to know what he feels about child molesters? It's right here. You want to see how God feels about anything? It's right here. But people say, I want a sign. Right there it is. Open your bloody eyeballs and look at the Word. It's right there. Amen. I don't want to. That's boring. Well, they ain't come to Daniel Town. They ain't got a brain upstairs in their head. This book is amazing. I mean, they talk about Game of Thrones being amazing. Guys, go in 1st and 2nd King. That'll put Game of Thrones to sleep in a heartbeat. But they ain't got dragons. Right? You want a dragon? I'll give you the dragon. That's the devil. The book of Revelation calls him that old serpent, the dragon, Satan. Yeah, he's real. He's alive. He'll put them other guys to bed in a hurry. This book is dripping with truth, and yet the enemy is trying to discredit it and discredit Jesus every which way he can. Do you realize there is more evidence that says Jesus Christ existed and lived than there is evidence that says George Washington lived? Go look it up. You want to read a book that might get your gears thinking? Read Lee Strobel, The Case for Christ. That don't get you thinking. He was an atheist and said he's going to put all these snot-nosed Christians to bed and shut all the churches in America down because they're a bunch of filthy, money-grubbing liars. Lee Strobel wound up becoming a believer in Jesus Christ. Why? Because he looked at the evidence. Too many people, when they come to this, they already have preconceived notions, say it's full of errors and there's mistakes and I'm not going to believe it. If you come to this book with an open mind and say, speak to me, God, Jesus said, ask and ye shall receive. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened. Why? Because God deals with truth. That's what he deals with. You want to deal with lies? Jesus says, John 8:44, ye are of your father the devil. And he is the father of lies. So here's my question. Have you found the truth in the written word of God? I have. Have you found the truth in the living word of God, in Jesus? If you have, like I have, in both cases, then Jesus said in John 8:36, four verses down, the banner that Heather made, right near Andy. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. So the sermon tonight is free indeed. What are you free of? Number one, I am free from switching. I am free from switching. What does that mean? I remember I went out to my Mama Lee's house, my grandma on my mama's side, when when I was littler. And I had it in my head that Mom and I were going to play hide and seek. I loved hide and seek. I was littler. I could hide in some good places, Jim. Well, Mama evidently didn't get the memo that I was not going to hide at the house. I was hiding at another house. As an only child that my parents had really, really, really wanted, if this child went out of radar, it was bad. I remember the one time I was going to run away from home. I got to the end of the driveway, and I looked up because I heard a noise, and there was an airplane overhead. I said, well, they're looking for me. Let me go on home. And so I just walked back in the front door. Well, Mama is about to have a heart attack. I mean, she's about to lose it. She come out there, and she asked Rose if she'd seen me. Rose said, yeah, he's here, but I don't know where he is now. Uncle Frank, I don't think he was there. Mama Lee was back in her bedroom, and so everybody's out there. And I'm in my hiding spot, just, I got him good. And then all of a sudden, over the din, Creighton Lee, if you hear my voice, you better come out now. You see, here in the South, we got this thing that if you're called by your nickname, you're all right. If you're called by your name, that's the warning. If you're called by your middle name or your full name, that's it. You're done. You better get out or do something because you're about to be killed. Your funeral is about to happen before your very eyes. So the recliner is here, and I get the mechanism and put the footrest up, and I crawl out, and here I am, yank. I think I grew wings. Going around back to the house, Mama grabs a hickory switch. Leaves hard, that branch is denuded. My legs were on fire. Now, that is not the switching I'm talking about. Just because I got older doesn't... Yes, I was free from switching. Mama switched to belts. But that's not what I'm talking about. I am free from switching. Galatians chapter 5, verse 1 says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Too many times, guys, what we want to do as Christians, as saved people, we are free from sin, we are free in Christ, and what we want to do is we want to switch sides. We want to leave the side of Christ and go back to darkness. We want to go out of light and we want to go back over into sin. We want to go play in sin. We want to have our cake and eat it too, as they say. Paul the Apostle said in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 11, I'm not going to read it all, but I'm going to point out a couple of things. He said, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Notice he did not say so that you can switch side. He did not say so that you can go flip-flop back and forth, and see whatever which way the wind is blowing and wind up on that other side. It doesn't say, well, the queers are in charge now, so you better fly the rainbow flag. No, it says you better stand and have on the armor of God, having done all to stand in the evil day. It don't matter if the Democrats all condemn us and say that we're all a bunch of hypocrites and they're going to outlaw the Bible reading tomorrow. I don't care if they're going to try to close down our church or not. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to keep the doors of the church open and I'm going to preach and teach out of the old blessed Bible. Whether they like it or not. When they shut down all the churches, I said, we're going to stay open, but if you want to stay home, you stay home. I'm going to keep the church doors open. You know what? I did. Because guess what? They said businesses that were necessary for the country needed to function. Well, guess what? They didn't shut down the ABC stores. They didn't shut down the abortion clinic. But they shut down the Church of God. Let me think. I think we need to shut down the murder mill, and I think we need to put the cork in the bottle and get the shop heads off the side of the road drunk and lollygagging around. I think we need to keep the way station open that's pointing people the way home to heaven and telling people how they can serve the risen Lord and Savior named Jesus the Christ, the Son of the living God. I think this needs to be open. The hospital of sinners needs to be open and open for business. So I thumbed my nose at Roy Cooper, and I said, Governor, we're keeping our doors open. But you see, I am free from switching. Just because I'm free don't mean I can serve Jesus on Sunday and Wednesday and then go live like hell on Monday and Tuesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday. A lot of folks, what they want to do is they want to sow their wild oats through the week, and then they want to come in on Sunday and pray for crop failure. Number two, not only are we free from switching, we're also free, number two, we're free from sinning. The Bible says in Romans 8, verse 2, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Let me tell you what the Apostle Paul said here. Listen to what he said in Romans chapter 6. He said, likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ thy Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of God, instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion, rulership over you, for ye are not under law, but under grace. You know what all that says right there, folks? You are free. You are free. Daddy, you got your coat? You got your coat? Can I borrow it? Your coat. So right there. It's set. Oh, dear. Hey, yay. Okay. It says you are free to put on. Shoo, it's hot. To put on the righteousness of God. We're not supposed to put on sin. He says, put on, put off. That's what he's telling. What does that mean? That means it's your decision. It's your freedom to choose. Yours and mine. Look again what he says. He says, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Christ Jesus our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body. You know what that means? You know what that implies? That implies, hey, this is your decision and mine. Wow. 1 John says what? If we say, verse 6, that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, that is in sin, and we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Do you know what this says? That says that if we are saved, we are saved from sin. It says that if you go around telling people, I have no sin, you lie because you have sin inside of you. But just because you have that old sin nature there does not mean you have to do what it says. It's just like all them knuckle brains that were telling me, hey, you want to play with the Ouija board? Come on over. No, I should have stood my ground. I should not have switched. I should not have sinned. But guess what? Craig had the freedom, he had the liberty to choose. And then I got my discipline for that. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. What does it mean? It means that we can resist sin now. Do you know what happened before when you were lost? You had to sin. You had no choice. When you were tempted, when I was tempted, we had to sin. That's the only thing we could do. That's the only thing a lost man or woman can do is sin. That's why no matter how good you are, no matter what good works you do, the only thing a lost person can do is sin. Remember, at the great white throne judgment, there's going to be people that are going to come out of hell, and Jesus is basically going to say, so why should I let you into my heaven? And they'll say, Lord, Lord, Matthew chapter 7, verse 19, 20, and 21. They're going to say unto Jesus, after they burned in hell, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy, preach in your name? Did we not cast out devils in your name? Did we not do all these wonderful works in your name? And then Jesus says, then will I say unto them, depart from me, ye cursed, ye workers of iniquity. What does the word iniquity mean? Sin. So wait a minute. What did he just say? Depart from me, ye cursed, ye worker of good deeds, good works, ye workers of sin. I never knew you. Imagine giving $1 million to the church. Imagine going and building an orphanage. Imagine going and feeding 5,000 children and putting them through college and giving them an education and helping change the course of a whole nation or a community and doing wonderful deeds in the community and then dying and going to hell. And then you stand before God and say, but I did all these wonderful works. I did all these wonderful works in the name of God. I did all these wonderful works in the name of Jesus. I even went to church. I even sung in the choir. I went there. I paid my tithe. I did all that. I paid that preacher his salary every year. And yet you're telling me I can't come into heaven? No. Because you did works of sin. Because you know what? The only thing, guys, according to God, that a lost person can do is that. Sin. Why? Because that's their nature. Why does a dog wag his tail? Because he's a dog. Why does a cat knock things off of a shelf? Because it's a cat. Why does a dog bark? Why does a cat meow? Because they're a dog and a cat. That's why. Why does a sinner sin? Because they're a sinner. That's why. That's why you have to teach a child. No. That's why you have to put up a boundary line and tell them there is a way you cannot go. If a child is left to their own devices and to their own doing, the Bible says you hate them. And that foolishness is driven from the heart of a child by the rod of correction. God applies the rod of correction to us. When we get into sin, hello, God says, all right, you're going to go play in sin, fine. You're going to sow your oats, you're going to reap your oats. And R.G. Lee preached it the best way, payday someday, it's coming. So that's why when the Son freed us, He freed us from switching. When the Son freed us, He freed us from sinning. Number three, I am free from slavery. I am free from slavery. 1 Peter 2:15-16. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men as free, and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. What in the world does all that say? In a nutshell, this is what it says. Just because you're free, it don't mean you are free to go sin and do whatever you want to. It does not mean that you can now, since you're free in Jesus, that don't mean you go out and live like hell and do whatever you want to. You see, if you are, then what you're going to do is you're going to have a cloak of maliciousness. Maliciousness comes ultimately from malice. Malice is hatred. So who are you hating? Oh, well, you're not showing hatred towards your fellow man because you're deceiving your fellow man. What it is you're showing hatred to God. Because the Bible tells us, it teaches us, that friendship with the world is enmity, hatred with God. And that is to a saved person. Someone I knew said, I want to go out and get high. I said, if you do that, you are going to be a friend of the world and you are going to be an enemy of God. Well, so? I said, so? That's royal. That's brilliant. I said, do you not realize that drugs, all drugs in the Greek is pharmakeia, and that is connected to demonism? I said, you are playing with demons when you go want to do whatever it is that you're going to do. Get off my back. Leave me alone. I want to do what I want to do. I said, spoken like a true rebel. Then I wash my hands. Because you cannot force someone to do it. All you can do is lead the horse to water and pray to God they'll drink the truth. That's why I have told people and told people many hundreds and hundreds and umpteen hundreds of times this little understanding right here. Truth is a very important thing. And when you go out and you slam into the wall, after you've been told, if you do that, you're going to slam into the wall. I'm going to do what I want to. Really? Yes. That's okay, then do. And they go out and they slam into the wall. And then they, and they come out crying and hurt and all that whatnot. How many times do you have to get hit in the head until it sinks in? Some people, it never does. And that's why all you can do is pray for them. I have some thoughts I would really love to say, but that's my opinion, and I'm going to leave it alone. Romans chapter 6, verse 16 says, know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servant to obey, his servant ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. So that means Jesus said, no man can serve two masters. He will serve the one, he will love the one, and hate the other. That's it. So when we play in the world, we say, oh, how I love Jesus. No, you don't. If you're playing in the world, guess what you're doing? You are a slave to sin. That's what it is. But if we go over here and we're going to serve the Lord, then we are a slave, a servant to God. That's what we are. And so it is, the Bible says this. In 2 Peter chapter 2, David, if you'll come. It says, for when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness, that is, loose, riotous living. Those that were clean escape from them who live in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants or slaves of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought in bondage. Or slavery. For if, listen to this, for if after they have escaped the pollution to the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it has happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed are wallowing in the mire. Coat, please. So, did you not hear what God just said? He said that if you've been saved and born again and washed in the blood of the Lamb and you've been set free and you go back to sin and now you're overcome, then he says it's going to be worse for you. And it would have been better for you and I if we had never heard the gospel at all than you have been in that state. You know why he says that? Because of the sin unto death. The sin unto death can only be experienced by a believer. And that'll be the most agonizing, painful death anyone could ever die. And it cannot be died by a lost man or woman. It can only be done by a believer who is so far removed out of the will and plan of God, they don't sound like, they don't look like, they don't smell like a believer anymore. They think and operate just like a lost person. There is no different from a person's point of view. When they look at that person and say, are they saved or not? They live, they act, they sound, they look just like a lost person. And when they do that, guys, they're mocking the blood of Jesus. And God in His mercy and grace has given them time and time and space to repent, and they don't. And God says, fine, in my mercy, I'm going to take them out. And that's what He does. Because we are ambassadors. You ever seen any commercials before? You ever heard them on the radio? Well, you know what you are as a saved person? You're a commercial for Jesus. You're marketing Jesus. I hate to make it sound like that, but that's what we are. And a lot of times, I've not been a good commercial. Someone look at me and they say, if that's what a Christian is, I don't want it. I don't want that. But Jesus, through Peter, He says here that if we do go back to our sin, then what we've done is we've done just like the proverb says, the dog is turned to his vomit. You ever seen a dog do that? I have. They puke. And then they go over to where they just puked. And they eat it. That's gross. That's sick. But then it says, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. You know what a sow is? That's a hog. It'd be just the same thing, okay? Let's put some pee right here. Let's put some diabetic pee. That stinks. And let's put some poop right there. Let's mix it all up. And let's go get a dead, let's get two dead skunks and put them in there. Jab it around. All right, good. Let's get some Limburger cheese and put that in there. Let's go out here into the wastewater treatment plant. Let's get a couple of big buckets of water and pour it all in right there. So what we're doing is we're taking our coat and we're just jabbing it all around in that mess. And then the stinky, putrid, rancid stuff, we're putting it on. And we're saying, ha ha, look at me, I'm a Christian. And you reek to high heaven. Might as well call us reek. Thank you. Yes, please do. It may stink. But you notice that hog? That's the prodigal pig. What? You never heard of the prodigal pig? Prodigal pig was washed. It was cleaned up. And the farmer took it inside, put a little bow on its ear, and set a place for it at the table, gave it utensils to eat with. And what did the pig do? The hog ran and ate like a hog at the table. Trying to get him to go to the bathroom. The hog, what'd it do? It went in the floor. Trying to put him in the bed. What did it do? It rooted in the bed and made the feathers and everything fly and ripped the bed up. And finally the farmer said, well, I washed it. I tried to feed it at the table. I tried to make it go to the bathroom. I tried to let it sleep in the bed. I tried to civilize it, but all it did was act like a hog. So he pitched it back out and opened the door and he said, all right, you can do what you want to now. And he ran all the way back out to the hog pen and slopped in the mud. And it was happy as it could be. You know why? It was still a hog. You can take the hog out of the pig pen. You can dress it up. You can make it smell good. You can put clothes on the blessed thing. But it ain't going to be but nothing but an old hog. But that boy that was his father's son, took his inheritance before his daddy died, and he led out to the far, far country. And he went out there and wasted his money and his inheritance on women and song and everything else under the sun. And then when his money ran out, what did he do? He ran out there and he wound up where? In the hog pen. And he was slopping the hogs. And as a little Jew boy, he should never have been doing that. And you know, he started looking over there at them husks, at them hogs that they're eating and a-rooting, and he's just hungry. And he wanted to eat the hog slop. And then he came to himself. Ha! Hallelujah! He came to himself! And he said, what am I doing here? There's people that are servants. They ain't even part of family. Back home. And they ain't nary one of them gone to bed without supper. Maybe I can go back to my daddy and tell him, Father, I've sinned against God, I've sinned against heaven, I've sinned against you. I ain't no more worthy to be counted as one of your sons. Just treat me as a hired person. And just let me have a place to sleep and something to eat. Glory to God, that poor old lad was on the road. His pappy was on that front porch. His daddy was there looking for him every single day. He told that servant, I believe the day after the boy lit out, he said, you better take that calf in there and you better feed it because my boy's coming back one of these days. You know why? Because he had the promise of God. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart. That's a promise of the Word of God. And so daddy was out there and he saw him. He knew that shape. He knew that form. I can hear my daddy walking down the hallway and I know by the footsteps that's my daddy. I know. And so he saw his boy coming down the road and he lit out after him and he gave him a big old bear hug. And he said, boy, I'm so glad you're home. And he said, call the servant and kill the fatted calf. Bring my best shoes and my robe and my ring. You know what the ring was? That's a checkbook, blank check. When he got that robe on, I believe the daddy was standing behind and all he could see was his good righteous robe. He didn't see none of the mud and the dirt and the junk on him. He just put his robe right over him. He put his shoes on his feet. He said, come on, son, we're going to celebrate. Then the elder brother came in and said, what's all this ruckus in here? He says, your brother, who was once counted dead, is now home, and we're celebrating. Huh. That boy that ran out there with loose women and partying and wasting all of your money, and you're going to throw a party for him? How long have I been out here doing what I'm supposed to do, being a good boy, and you ain't nary once give me and my friends a goat that we could eat for supper? But yet your son that comes in after living with prostitutes and wasting money and all of that, wine and women and whiskey and all that stuff, and you throw a bled party for him? Son, you're with me all the time and everything I have is yours. But your brother was dead and now he's alive again. Let's be merry and celebrate. Do you realize that in the parable of the prodigal son, that prodigal son never turned into a hog? That he was always, no matter where he was always his father's son. And when he came home and started to tell his daddy, he said, Daddy, I've sinned against God, I've sinned against heaven, and I've sinned against you. I am no more worthy to be called your son. And before he could say, disown me, his daddy cut him off. And you know what? That's the truth of God as well. When we get saved and we go out back into the world, God don't aim for us to switch. You're free from switching sides. You're not supposed to, and I'm not supposed to be free to sin and do whatever we want to. That's not our life, because Jesus freed us. What? He freed us from sin. But there's something else the Bible warns us about, that whatever and whoever we yield ourselves to that or whoever it is, we become slaves. Jesus came to what? To set the captive free. And Jesus set us free from slavery. And that boy, he was a slave to his passion. He was a slave to whatever his owner now said, you got to go feed the hog. But that boy come to himself and he came home. You know why? Because he was his father's son. He was a free man. All he had to do was come home. God, that's all we got to do is come home. If we've sinned, if we've switched, if we've been a slave again, even after Jesus has set us free, all we got to do is come home. That's all we got to do. Because you are born again and free in Jesus. We have been set free. Tonight, have you been set free? As we bow our heads and close our eyes, as the end is finally here, don't start with the hallelujah chorus.